Welcome to SFH Presents, the One and a Third Podcast, with your host, Zach Polk.
I like that too, but I do like, you know, animation titties. Oh, that everyone has someone in their life that deals with the shit that I deal with.
And featuring Tyler Southern.
You want me to rub your feet? You want me to get the bath running? Something? Can I help you relax?
Now turn that shit up.
Just a reminder, we here at the SFH Presents One and a Third Podcast are not medical professionals. This is for entertainment purposes only. If you're going through some real things, call a real doctor. Today, we have our first guest. Well, our first, I don't know, we call you a guest at first, maybe? Like, we were both guests. So this is actually the second guest that has all four limbs.
Woohoo!
This is my friend Alexis Miller.
I do. Hello.
So many
Hello.
Limbs.
It's me.
She's very, she was just telling me before the podcast that you're half Filipino.
I am.
That blew me away.
I know. Most people go, what's the other? And I go, the other half? Italian Irish. I know. I'm really white. I get it.
You are very white, Alexis Miller. And your middle name's Taylor?
Yes.
Alexis Taylor Miller.
Yep.
There's a whiter name on the planet, but I haven't heard it.
Oh, my sister, Kinsey Elizabeth.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as dudes go, I mean, it's still not as Caucasian as like Tanner or Bryce.
Brother's Austin Wayne, so.
Whoa.
She's not up there. Did she just get like the white people handbook?
My mom, Maria Teresa. Mm.
So she came here and she ordered off Amazon the white people handbook, and it was like, we just got Tyler masturbating right now to the
wiggling, sir. Wiggling.
I know
your legs they wiggle. Like me, dude. It helps with nerve.
The same thing.
No, I get it.
We were also talking about on her phone. She's got a stuck down strip of sandpaper, essentially, that lets her free herself from overstimulation and so on.
Yeah, I like that. You got so outlets. For whenever things get too loud, too crazy?
Yeah, it helps me focus and then I can like stimulate without people noticing because everybody always has their phone in their hand. So I can hold my phone like this and just like, you know, do my thing.
That's slick.
Yeah.
So you have sensory issues?
Oh, yeah. My therapist said I'm one of the most sensory sensitive people that she has seen in a very long time.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to tell Bachman about that. Hopefully Bachman listens to this, but you know he don't.
I'm an overachiever, no. So.
Well, I'll be like, dude, stick some shit on your phone, and then when it gets crazy, you just rub that shit.
Yeah.
He's going to
put like a titty on the back of his phone or something.
I had a triangle. It's like, I gave it away to my ADHD friend.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was like, here.
Was the triangle more vaginal? Was it more like...
Listen. You just trace the shape.
I like it. So when I put out the post that said, hey, we're looking for people to be on here and tell their story, talk about, their trauma, their history, so we can laugh at it or whatever we're going to all do together. No, we're not going to laugh at it. But
I'll laugh with you if it's funny, I promise.
It's the only way to get through trauma.
Where would you begin telling your trauma story? Where would you begin telling your survivor story, like what was it exactly that made you reach out to me?
Goodness, that's a hard question because I feel like a lot of people I talk to have one moment in their life that they're like, this is really like, this is what fucked me up. But I have like multiple really fucked up trauma that just sprinkled its way through my life. So
would we want to go with chronological or like?
So when I was born,
alphabetical.
I came out upside down and naked.
It was very traumatic.
And this man I never met slapped me till I cried.
And now we love it, you know?
Do they still do that?
I
they still like beat the shit out of kids right when they come out to make sure they're alive. Make sure they're,
you know.
I mean, they did not do that with either of my children, but mine were crying kind of from the get-go, so it didn't really. I think if they're not crying, they'll do that. But I also think it'd be a different thing.
Yeah, it could just be like old ass doctors that are set in their ways and still prescribe stupid shit.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it exists.
Yeah,
I was talking to my buddy Torin Green, who has just become a ER doctor in Michigan, and we were just discussing that topic about how there's like a perfect stride of being young as a doctor, but also having enough wisdom to know what you're doing before you're too old and jaded. There's like a perfect stride in age for a doctor where it's like, and I'm sure some are break the mold, but if a doctor's too old, typically they're like stuck.
Yeah. I feel like in that profession, you have to remain a sponge because I mean, what other thing evolves constantly than medicine?
Well, science.
I mean, shit, if I got hurt a year prior, I wouldn't have survived.
Oh yeah. I don't have a thyroid. I was born like that. If they did not have the medical stuff they had now, I would have died for sure.
Trauma number one.
For sure. Yeah.
Boom. So it really was step one. She doesn't have a thyroid. Okay.
So what
now does not having a thyroid cause? Oh.
No, I was going to ask the same question. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, does not having a thyroid cause specific problems? I honestly am not read in on the use of that piece of equipment.
So the best way I can describe what a thyroid does for you is it helps your body function. It's a gland in your throat that's supposed to be right here, like at the base of your neck. Mine was at the base of my tongue, and it was disconnected completely. So it never worked. But then as I got older, I started choking on it.
Fun.
Yeah.
Not many people can say they've been choked by their own thyroid. That's metal as fuck.
I know.
I dig it.
I loved it. It was a great moment for me.
What's it?
Harder, you know?
Well, already canceled on YouTube.
Oops.
No, we're way out of 2 minutes. You said the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, we're good.
We're out of 2 minutes. As long as we don't say cunt and the N-word, which I'm not going to say, but we can't say those. Oh, I just said one of them, but I was.
Do we have a button where we could delete that?
To go back. We need a bloop. Huh? Bloop, bloop. Yeah, way too late. Yeah.
I'm just going to start bleeping when you talk.
Man.
Throw some stuff away.
Half the time. All right, yeah, so how old were you when they realized that that was the issue and then, of course, got it all the way the heck out of there?
So, actually, it was when I had my suicide attempt because, because I tried to hang myself. So when they took me to the hospital, they had me like in a little neck brace and they had to do a scan on me. And then that's when they found out that it was not where it was supposed to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So obviously you're still here. So the suicide attempt actually made your life better in a sense.
Yeah. Like my medication didn't change for like my thyroid stuff because it never worked. But like, you know, I can sing without choking now.
And I love it.
I used to like suffocate myself in my sleep because like I'm already a really small person. So when you relax and you go to bed, your tongue slides to the back of your mouth and it was closing the rest of my airway because my thyroid was there.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I might try to hang myself and see what they find out.
They're like, oh, by the way, you have cancer of the knee.
Wow. Yeah,
that's not, is not how it worked for me when I went to the hospital on purpose.
You know?
Well, I'm kind of a big dude, so maybe the rope would break and then I'd hurt my knee and then they would look at my knee and found out that my knee was messed up. Mm-hmm.
So tore all the ACL and MCL and all of the CLs.
Did you play halfback in high school? Nah. Nothing like that.
It just felt like a spectator's from this stool I was standing on.
so we've now went that far back. I don't know why, but when you asked her how old she was when she figured that out, which you didn't answer the question.
God, now I have to think. So I started my current job the same week I got out of the mental hospital, and that's how I gauge my like anniversary.
So this all
time.
Happened since I left.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that was 3.5 years ago.
I was expecting them to figure it out and get it out of there like before you were 5 or something.
No, because they didn't have a reason to. They did the blood test when I was born, like, you know, that they do when kids. They're like, hey, we want to do this random blood screening to make sure your baby's okay. And then they were like, yeah, her thyroid's fucked.
So it's in her throat.
She, like, they just saw my blood and was like, your levels are fucked up. So she needs to take medicine for the rest of her life. And I was like,
wow.
And just take it. It's like this pill. It's like half the size of my pinky. But if I don't take it, if I miss one day, I feel like a zombie.
Really? Mm-hmm. What happens if you don't take it for days on end?
The first thing that happens is I get really tired. That's how I can tell that my dose is off, because I start feeling very fatigued for no reason. And then I just feel like it's like being sick, but not like cold sick. You just feel like really weak, and then your like joints hurt and stuff like that. And
wow.
Yeah. You get more like it makes my depression worse. So.
No, that's great.
Yeah,
I was going to say, if your body's feeling slimy and everything's feeling just, how could it not affect your depression? Holy crap.
Yeah, the hormones, they fuck up with my depression too. So it's pretty
awesome. So going back to when we met.
Yeah.
We met at a place called the Country Rock Cabaret.
CRC?
Where you were an entertainer, a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And for the record, I've told this to so many people, and you can vouch for this. I didn't go in there and participate.
No, you just sat in the back and hung out. You like, I would like just sit with you.
Exactly.
And you'd be like, you can go like do your thing. Like, you can go hustle. I'm like, nah, like, fuck these people. I just want to like chill.
I tell people I ended up being half the girls their therapist, which is pretty true.
Yeah,
I ended up just hanging out, because I would work till 2 a.m. playing music.
Right.
And I want to hang out.
You come in with eyeliner on and everything.
Yeah.
I remember.
And I'd be like, I got to go, like, still want to drink. I want to hang out. So I'd even sit with my back to the stage just to not. And I didn't want to be that dude that was like, there were some girls that clearly didn't know me, and they'd be like, what a dick. He's not spending money. Yeah. And I'm like, can I just have a beer?
Chilling.
Yeah. But I always thought, you know, knowing you, I always thought, I don't want to say this, but you didn't belong there. Like, you were the nicest, kindest, like, most normal person. And which, you know, I'm not saying that all dancers are not, but you know what I'm talking about. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in there.
Yes.
No, there's not a single daddy issue.
Got it all.
There's not one single father's issue.
No,
in that establishment.
No.
So, I mean, back to what you were saying about sticking your back to the stage, like, as wouldn't a performer find that insulting?
I mean, personally, I never really gave a fuck. I used to eat on stage just because.
I think it depends on the girl, because there's some girls that get it, and they're only looking for the dudes. Like, they're there to work, obviously, and make money. So they're looking for the dudes that are looking at the stage and not really concerned with what I'm doing. But eventually everyone kind of knew me, and it was just like, oh, I'm going to go sit over here and bitch about every dude that came in tonight.
Word.
Oh, I got a gnat in my face again. That's fucking cool.
I can see him.
Huzzah.
One of these days.
You got to get that sorted out.
We've been trying. Ryan's like, I've never had gnats. I'm like, I have no idea where they're coming from, doggy. Like, they're just not here, and then they're there. It's awesome. Anyway.
Some beach.
Oh, we get sidetracked talking about gnats.
Gnats.
So what was that experience like? Like the darkest part of that for you, you know, dancing.
So what's interesting is the club for me wasn't really a super dark place. I've been through some shit, and I feel like I was really good at separating it there, especially because I was goofy. Like, I would eat on stage. I remember specifically taking chicken strips up on top of that. Like, you remember in the middle thing where there's like a steering wheel?
Mm-hmm.
There's a steering wheel you can climb up on top of, and I would sit up there and just eat like food, because I would carry it in my mouth. Yeah. Or like, you know, people would crumple up dollars and throw it at me, and I would take it and like throw it back just because, you know, it was like a place that you could just rebel and do whatever. I was also completely sober at that time, so I didn't even drink.
Wow, I think I knew that, because I probably offered you
chicken tendies.
Yeah, that place was a joy. It was fun, actually.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same. Everyone I met there seemed to be. I mean, there's obviously some exceptions, but every girl that I made friends with was always like, "This is a great time and chill as fuck."
Yeah.
And then I dated one of the girls, and
how dare you?
then I just kind of stopped coming back and moved away.
You just abandoned everybody.
I know.
In this lovely haven that you found for yourself.
That place was lit.
It was cool, but I tried to go back. We went back when I got here, and Jason's still there, but it is not the same.
Yeah. I've toyed with the idea of going back for funsies, but I don't know. It's really hard working. That was the part that was, for me, that was hard, was actually working overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you're
And
like,
then it's hard on your body, too.
Are you on, like, grandma hours now?
Yeah. I work, like, 9 a.m. until 8 p.m.
So you go to bed after milk and cookies at, like, 10 o'clock or something?
The guys in the office call me an old lady because I have, like, a heater under my desk. I've got, like, the Tylenol, and they're like, Lex, my head hurts. Do you have Tylenol? My back hurts. Do you have your Biofreeze?
That's so funny.
Got some Werther's.
No, we should just go in there and hang out.
Just
go in there and have stags at the old country rock cabaret.
Yeah. I'd love to be a guest.
Report
there.
Back.
Yeah. Be a guest.
Every time I go in there, though, he tries to get me to work there again.
I'll tell him you're only working if I work, and then he won't hire you because he doesn't want me on the stage. I think it's a good plan.
Busy now. I'm a professional.
I think you'd be able to break it down, Zach, for the record.
Yeah. Yo. I'll be like, I'm her new manager. I'm her security and her manager.
Yeah.
And I say no.
Like I'm a talent.
Yeah.
A talent at CRC.
Oh, just the other
back
day.
Back up, please.
I told you I'm hosting karaoke and trivia, right?
I'm so excited.
So I'm hanging out with the owner at the owner's house of the bar, and mm-hmm. Ryan's with me, who works there, my roommate, Ryan Droll. Mm-hmm. And she starts talking about, hey, I really want to do this. And Ryan steps between us and he goes, I'm his management. How much are you paying him? And she shoots a number and he goes, that's fine. And I'm like,
I like
oh,
it, dude.
I want that.
He was negotiating hard, dude. He got serious and shit. It was amazing.
I want that. Yeah, but like, yeah. My secret talent is I play the clarinet. So no one's booking Squidward.
You might be able to
one
like
time
start
at band
like
camp.
You might be able to start like a time. Jethro Tull tribute band with toy instruments. I'm a visionary.
You can be my manager.
I don't know if you know this about me. I'll manage you.
My mother played the clarinet in high school. She could play Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog if you gave her one now.
I specifically remember playing Skrillex like on my clarinet just because. Yeah, it was super cool.
Did you? That's crazy. Is that like, is Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog like playing Smoke on the Water on the guitar at Guitar Center? Is that like the go-to that everyone probably knew from that era?
I have no idea. That was just the brand of music my mother liked. I don't know if it was like Hot Cross Buns on the recorder. I don't know if it was like
that's
a
the
rite
same
of passage.
Huh?
That's the same for clarinet. Hot Cross Buns.
Yeah, yeah. So
same.
I don't know. I don't know.
One
if my
a plenty,
school,
two a plenty.
Like, let me dig into my trauma here for a second. Yes. I don't know if my school just was real cheap or what, but we didn't get clarinets. We got recorders.
We had those.
It's not nearly as
it was cool. Elementary school, right?
Yeah.
Zach? So yeah. Elementary school, you did recorders. I don't know why you needed to learn how to play Hot Cross Buns on a recorder for elementary school or what it did for you socially or whatever. that and then I don't. They called it ORF for some reason. I don't know why, but it was all the xylophones and bigger. Was a team or whatever you could be on. But then in middle school, there was like the legit band with all the instruments. And then of course, high school where you could end up turning it into a scholarship opportunity. But in elementary school, it was more like a keep them occupied than it was teach them music theories.
But yeah, then you go to high school and you're like, man, I really think I want to carry on this talent that I've picked up on the clarinet or the recorder. And I never want to get laid again. So I'm going to join band. Band sounds so fun.
I was in band and marching band. That was really cool.
How often did that joke come up about, and then I stuck a flute in my pussy?
Oh, every time I say they play clarinet. One time I band him.
Yeah.
Every time.
I knew
I did it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to play into the stereotype. If you'll ever forgive me, that would be wonderful.
Think about it.
Unbelievable. All right. So back to
Right. You have to keep me on the rails.
One time.
No, that's what I love about this. There's no rails. Fuck the rails. Let's just do shit.
You're going to have me talking about the Persian worm at the, you know, bottom of the sea.
Oh, I want to fucking know about this, but let's hear about the Persian worm and your history. Like, let's talk more about, let's go back to the traumas, the things that have led you to.
So you did say the first time you tried to kill yourself?
Yeah. Okay. There was only one time. But
you're saying first time to reserve the right.
You gotta, you know, it might be in your calendar.
Right.
It's a joke, Mom. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You gotta leave room for the unknown.
Right. For legal reasons, that's a joke.
But you also wanna be correct and proper if you said the only time, what if we're back here talking about it again?
Maybe.
And they find something else wrong with you that makes you better.
You know?
So how long was your stay in a mental institution?
Oh, it was 1 week. They wanted to keep me longer, but I knew that they weren't allowed to. So I was like, fuck you, I'm out. Bye. I kept saying, literally, they were like, we think you should stay another week. And I was like, nope, you can't keep me any longer. I'm leaving. And they're like, we really think. I'm like, I'm leaving.
So was it specifically in reaction to you trying to hang yourself?
Yeah.
That one, or I was going to say, were there other stays, or what, did you only have a week in inpatient or whatever?
Yeah, there was not another time that I went. There was many times I probably should have, but I was beforehand. I was always a sufferer in silence kind of gal. And then it just built up to this moment.
And here you are, not suffering in silence. You're suffering with all of us.
Yeah, yeah. I learned that talking about it, you know, kind of helps.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It definitely can. I didn't say this on my podcast, but when I was like 14, stayed in a hospital for like a week.
Yeah.
And it's not great.
It's definitely not fun. So
it's not a fun time at all.
When I first got there, I was like super catatonic. Like I just sat in the chair and stared at the wall. So like the TV's over here and I'm like just sitting staring at the wall because you had to come out of your room. And then, like, at the end of the day, to go back in. So I would just go in. I would, like, go through the motions. I wouldn't talk to anybody. And then I think it was by the third day, this guy who was schizophrenic came up to me. And he was, like, talking to my back while I was talking to him. And then he was telling me how 2 Chainz is still alive. And that's actually his dad. And he's just waiting for him to drop his, like, 87th album. And then he's going to come pick him up.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he just goes... Oh, by the way, hi. And he said his name, and I cannot to the life of me remember what his name is now. And then he fist bumped me, and I was like, hi, I'm Alexis. And then that was the first time I ever spoke in the hospital. So
They sent him to just say some wackadoodle shit so you'd actually speak up?
He planted him.
He's an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you find that? I felt like when I went to Highland. I don't know if you know what that is.
I'm just SLU.
Oh, okay. I think they were right up the road from each other, but
twinsies.
One of the things that I felt like I learned from being there was I saw how fucked up everyone else was, and I was like, oh, I think I got this. Like, I think I can figure it out. I don't need to be here. Because there were people.
If these are the kind of people that live here, I don't need to live here.
Yep.
Yeah, that one guy would tell me every day about how he was going to get out. I was like, you're never leaving.
Yeah, this is
and I'm one step there, but I'm not there yet. So let's go give this another shot.
This is your home, sir. Make yourself comfortable.
2 Chainz Junior.
Also, the other weird thing I remember is that I was on there was like a deeper level that you could go to if you were like really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
And I remember
they had a basement.
That I left, and when you come back, they obviously strip you down to your underwear and make sure you're not bringing something in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of the dudes from the other level was subbing that day for somebody, and he was like, I need to, like, search his asshole, right? And I'm like, what? Dude, all the color went out of my whole body. I was, like, not ready for my asshole to be searched. Now I'd be all right with it, but back then...
You're like... When I went to the hospital, like...
Give me a minute to get in the right headspace.
They wanted to put a catheter in me.
Really?
Yeah, because they had to see if I was pregnant. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
That was the first moment I snapped out of being so try to hang myself. They found me by chance. And then I got ambulance to a hospital, then air vec'd over. So the first time that I like spoke was like when they were going to try to put a catheter in me.
See, he's been air vac too. You guys are twinsies.
Twinsies.
Well, I was gonna say I've had the front and the back catheter put in when I was wide awake more than once. Fuck that.
Is
my only review on the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I was
like, please knock
dick.
Me back out. Like, put me under for surgery and go ahead and whatever. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah,
I've seen your dick. Did they use a garden hose?
So this one time, so. In blast-related injuries, your testicles tend to swell up. I have pictures. It looks like a fucking bowling ball with a catheter going into just like a hole in the top. That was the first thing my brother said when he came in the room to see me. He lifted up the sheet to see it, what all men will ask when they wake up. Are they supposed to look like that? And I was told this when I woke up a few days later, but. Yeah,
dude, I'm so, we've had this discussion. I'm so against unrequited dick pics. Like, if someone didn't ask for dick pics, you don't send dick pics. But if you were gonna, that's the picture I send. Oh, the huge, please. Puffy, like ridiculous.
Where it's technically
ball.
Not a dick pic. It's just a bowling ball size scrotum mm-hmm. pic.
Yep.
Yeah, it would take you some time to process what you're looking at. I feel like, you know,
right? Because it's probably not all wrinkly. It's stretched out.
It's so like the thumb drive that's on is literally right there.
Might be like it looks like a balloon. You're just like,
yeah. Or you just want to?
No. Get out of here with your pins and your needles.
Dude, one time I was looking at some. I used to be really into aquariums, and I had like a bunch of.
Segway.
This is my trauma. And I was really into like, you know, cichlids, African cichlids and South American cichlids and all this stuff. And I'm on this website where they would like, you'd post a picture of the fish and they'd be like, yeah, it's this kind of fish, right? And I'm scrolling and I'm like, man, that is weird. What the fuck is that? It was a zoomed in nutsack.
Oh my God.
And I'm trying to figure out what kind of fish it is, dude. It's not cool.
I feel like what dudes that send dick pics think that women do, like they're like, oh my god. When really this is exactly what happens.
Yeah,
y'all need to just have a plethora, keep them, and then just send a different one back to that guy. Like you need to just have a folder of them. And then every time someone sends you one, just send a better one back to them or something.
Or send them a flaccid dick and be like, this is how you make me feel when you send me dick pics.
Send me a dick pic, I'll send it to your mother. Swear to God.
That's nice.
Unless I ask for it.
You what?
I said, unless I ask for it.
Then
which
it's different.
I don't, but.
Yeah, women are not as visual as men. We're different people. Like
different
men.
Creatures.
Men want every girl to send them nudes. That's just our nature. But dicks aren't that exciting unless they're exciting.
It's just kind of looking at you like this.
Right.
It ends up needing to be, yeah, if the person wants to see yours because of you and who you are to them, that obviously is a very different thing. But yeah, like people are just so damn proud that like, oh yeah, I'm God's gift to women. Check this out. Look at this thing.
My
and
favorite
like,
is
hey, every the guy angle. Has one of those and most of them aren't attached to douchebags like you.
It's extremely important, angles and lighting.
So me and my best friend send fake dick pics to each other all the time, and this is exactly what it looks like.
That's the only angle that makes it look nice.
And you gotta
That's
do the
not
face
true.
Thing.
Yeah,
you look to... like you're half grunting.
Yeah, it's
make
not
sure
true
all
for
your
you.
Chins are
dude.
Showing.
Yep.
Make sure all the chins are out.
Like, oh,
I had
so
a
nice.
Girl. I had a girl the other night who was like, wanted me to send a pic, and I'm like, I haven't taken one of those in a long time, dude. You don't understand the undertaking. I have to get the lighting and the angles and all the things right, and not only that, but like, you sent me your boobs, dude. That's not equal currency.
It's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, what you're going to get in return isn't as glorious. And all guys know that you don't always get the same make and model either. Sometimes it's just like, sometimes you're just drinking coffee and you're like, this is one of the best ones I've had in a while. And there's no one here to enjoy it. And then like whenever it's time, you're like, come on, let's go, bitch.
wait, do dudes take nudes for themselves?
No.
Oh.
I think he's just talking about your dick itself. Like your dick some days are like calm. And other days it's like.
No, I know. And on those good days, you should take nudes of yourself.
That's actually pretty smart.
Women do that. I have an album. That's
pretty smart. I'm learning things today.
Yep, you're welcome.
Then in the case of someone says, hey, I would like to see your penis, I'm like, oop.
It doesn't have a timestamp on it. You don't know when it's from.
Huh. That's wild.
Oh, and dude, wait, you send ones that you just took?
No.
No,
I've already. Oh.
No. I
when someone asks you for one, you send one you just took?
No.
You don't have one from however many years ago because it was the best one?
See?
No, I did. I had two of them, and then they're on a laptop somewhere. The only person that has them is Bachman and his wife. It's a whole other story. It's so much. But my stage wife, Joe Bachman, who I play music with, I took home our tablet that we use for tracks on stage, and apparently I signed in with my old iCloud, which meant it uploaded some of my pictures, and my dick was on there, and he showed his wife and his girl and all these, and I'm like, all right, because we were in Mexico, they're like, we've seen your dick. I'm like, no, you have not. I promise you haven't. I haven't sent that in years.
Yeah,
and they have.
I've had some people that have seen me at the club before that I don't like remember seeing them, and they're like, oh yeah, we've seen you naked. I'm just like, you're welcome. Yeah.
That's a weird thing to start a conversation with.
It is.
You're welcome. Like I don't know what else to say, you know?
Sweet rack.
I like to tell people that my tits are fake. I don't know why, but I just like to start rumors about myself sometimes.
That's nice. That's nice.
And then because you can see them processing. They're like, really? Are they? I'm like, no.
I love it.
Just run with it for a while. And I'm just like, you know.
So we were talking about look how quickly we do get off.
I know.
The rails.
I told you. You have to keep me on the rails or I'm going to talk about.
I'm for it. I just want to, when it starts to get, like slow down, I want to go back and tap into what we were originally talking about.
Folks.
Yeah.
Let's just get off of dick pics at least.
So there was the one suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Was that brought about? I mean, obviously as someone who deals with a lot of even still suicidal ideation, I know that that's a very hard thing to actually go through with. It's easy to think about, much harder to actually go through with it. So like, was there something that set you off particularly? Was it a relationship?
No. So the way
or
that
last
my
straw
brain,
per se.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a moment or like a thing that I was like, this is it. This is what's going to do it. But like days leading up to it, I still have this notebook. I finally found it, but I wrote letters to every single person that was like super important to me about it. So like before that moment, there was a lot of like planning that like went into that. Right. But like the way that my brain works is it's kind of like I pick up every radio station at the same time. And also I do have diagnosed PTSD. So the night terrors were really bad because I felt like even in my daily life, like everything is going on. I'm picking up TV static. I try to turn off the TV and it turns itself back on like a scary movie. And then you go and you unplug it and the TV still turns back on again. So then usually you go to sleep and you get peace, but I wasn't getting that. So I felt like, God, I have to live like this for the rest of my life. Like I don't, you know,
yeah.
I just,
and if when you're having trouble sleeping, it's easier to kind of be a little loony.
Yeah.
I'm sure that contributed to not really fully putting together the correct thoughts with what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not having sleep was rough because I'd have a night terror which would then roll into me kind of waking up into a panic attack. Then right. that would happen like for hours.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, no sleep is the quickest way to drive me crazy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sleep deprivation would be the one of the worst forms of torture for getting information out of me.
Although the U.S. government says that it's not considered torture.
Yeah.
We love the government. XOXO.
I trust them at every turn.
Yeah.
Heart to the government.
Yeah.
Ooh, Korean. Was that it? I can't do it any. I can't do it.
That's they don't line up. Korea.
Sorry. Yeah. She just did a thing culturally. It was great.
What was that?
It's a heart.
Oh.
I do it all
it's
the
a
time.
Specific, isn't it? It's a South Korean thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like K-pop.
It looks
K-pop.
Like you're about to snap.
I am.
Like, I'm fitting.
Or a picture was just taken right after you snapped. Yeah, yeah.
Do it all the time.
So, the diagnosed PTSD, mm-hmm. was that from a specific incident or was that specifically from the attempt?
No, it was before. So, like I said, most people have one moment where they're like, this, like, fuck me up, right? But I think the PTSD probably started actually as a result of my childhood. So it was, like, super abusive. So my dad, I call him my dad, but he's my stepdad. But he raised me since I was 2.5. He's severely bipolar and an alcoholic. Which when I was a child was very difficult to deal with. I have since like forgiven him and all that because I understand that he was just ill. But as a kid, like you don't get like why he suffered really bad from delusions.
Right.
And then when he got on the antipsychotics, it didn't mix very well with the alcohol. But he ended up becoming really mellow and like is a stoner now. So
wow.
Yeah.
It is one thing that I think a lot of people don't always process is that your parents are just people. They're not heroes. They're not different. They're not special. They're just human beings, man. You know, where they fuck up is just the same way as we fuck up. And it's probably because their parents sucked. I mean, and then their parents sucked and then their parents sucked.
He's
and where the fuck?
Ill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was ill. I think I hold more resentment probably towards my mom because she's not. And I felt like though she provided for me, she didn't protect me. Because, she paid for us to live and have a place and to eat and all of that. But I was just like, man, you know, dad's a little fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I'd like to get out of here.
Yeah.
So as far as the abuse, if you don't mind my asking, was it psychological or was it physical?
Both.
They whoop on you?
So my dad, because he suffered from delusions, sometimes he didn't know what he was mad about. So it's really hard to describe his anger because he wouldn't necessarily know what he was mad about. Like I remember specifically there was one time where there was a picture of my mom, probably around my age, and then she's holding me as a 3-year-old asleep and her head is resting on my head like this because we're like taking a nap. And it was like right around the time that Facebook came out. And so, or something, it was either Facebook or MySpace, but I remember I posted it. I took a picture, but I posted it and he came home and he started yelling at me and he's like, you know what the fuck you did? And he's just like explosive. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know what he's mad about. I don't know what he's, you know, and he's like, you know what you did. And, I pull it up and I go to the picture and he's like that right there. And I'm like, I don't, you know, I just thought it was a cute, you know, picture of me and my mom. And he was mad, essentially what I gathered, because his thoughts are very scattered, especially when he's like that, was that he was mad that somebody said it looked like she had a fat lip and that her husband hit her.
What the hell, dude?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. So it was like that, because it was all scattered. You have to piece together some of the things if you're like what he was mad. Sometimes you would know exactly specifically what, like if he'd be mad about cleaning and he's like throwing shit at you, you know, you're like, you know.
You would recognize stuff that had happened enough or triggers that would make things worse, I imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
I appreciate it. I talk to my dad all the time now. But I just see him as somebody that's just kind of, he was ill and took him a long time to be responsible about his medication and his drinking and, you know.
You don't mean like not ill in a Beastie Boys way.
No, not rad.
Okay. Insane rad. In the membrane.
That one.
Because I went to the doctor the other day, and he was like, at the end of it, he was like, hey, dude, I hate to tell you this, but you're sick with it.
I'm with like, it. What?
I'm like, what?
I got down with the sickness.
He said, you're sick with it. I'm like, quit it, dude.
Love that for you.
And then he sent me home, and he was like, you don't even have to pay me. You're sick with it.
I wish that means, sir.
That's pretty cool. I'm just glad.
Real quick, very impressed with your mindset towards your father and that behavior. Just the fact that you can look at. I mean, we obviously got a very very brief snapshot of a situation, but and if that was daily life, and now you can just say, you know, he was sick. That's all it was, and you know, not blame him or play the victim or any of that stuff is super impressive. And
I feel like I was actually talking to my roommate about this earlier, and my cousin. I was just like, you know, you can recognize that something like really fucked you up, like somebody fucked you up, but still have peace with that. Like, yeah,
it just means you've put the work in to get there. Like that you don't just wake up one day feeling that way. Well, that was probably not the easiest road you've ever been down to get to this mindset.
Yeah,
it doesn't exactly undo the damage, but it can certainly set you on a path to being able to heal.
No,
I mean it's in
the
fact
past,
I mean,
doesn't have to hurt.
I don't know that you can heal without doing that.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's possible to heal without forgiveness and without trying to at least having some understanding of what the person why you went through what you went through. And, you know, I mean, I didn't go through anything like that. My dad was more just not in my life. I had a stepdad that was one of the nicest human beings on planet Earth.
Love that for you.
So I didn't have much of that. Most of my trauma came from other people, and I didn't have the chance to like go back and forgive them individually, but I probably should do the work on that. Maybe.
It's definitely.
And I'm just, I'm limping in on this conversation. Sorry. You don't have to what?
No pun?
I limp in on this conversation because anytime we got whooped on, what we earned it. Like, there was, some parents probably would have thought this was a little far, that was a little far, but like, I was not a battered child. I got some hands put on me from time to time, but I guarantee you I earned it every single time. And I guarantee you I learned the lesson of don't say that to your mother or don't do that towards your father. And then, yeah, that sucked.
Well, you guys remember that little paddle ball that has the rubber ball with the stretchy rope?
Mm-hmm.
When you snap that fucking rope off, that becomes an ass whooper, dude.
Yeah.
I took that on the cheeks a few times, but it wasn't like aggressive. It was just loud.
Like I'm Asian, so my mom hit me with a wooden spoon, you know? She cracked it one time on me because it hit my elbow. But it wasn't like she was like beating me. It was literally like, I'm going to get your ass.
Thankfully, you were that Asian and not the Asians where they beat you with bamboo sticks. That would have been...
She threw whatever she could, but luckily my mom has bad aim, so...
Hey.
You know, she's like remote. Hanger.
I bet you got really good at dodgeball.
Yeah.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive,
I like
dodge.
To keep her off, but
oh, sorry.
I'm faster than her, so.
Yeah. I remember once my mom, I was in the hallway and she got mad at me and her and I argue about this all the time because she says this never happened.
I love that.
But we have a great relationship. She was not physically or mentally abusive, very loving, good woman, but I was a little older and I kind of challenged her on some shit and I swear she like drew back to punch me in the stomach, but couldn't bring herself to do it. So she kind of was like, Hita, like didn't really hit me. I remember when you punched me in the stomach, she's like, no, I didn't. I would never. I'm like, I swear
lies.
You did. Yeah. Try to bring it up.
Now
to
with
her,
mama, like, it was a SWAT on the ass. And if you tried to block it, you'd have to hold still and catch a real one.
Yeah.
Dad, there was a few that involved being pinned up against the wall a little bit. But again, one of those was hilarious in the grand scheme. I was I joined the Marine Corps at 17. So your parents have to sign everything. Like, you can't just sign up and go on your own. And I had initially, when they signed everything, I had signed under aviation, air crew, work on helicopters was going to be my job. And then I found out that you don't need their permission to change that. Like, they don't have to sign anything if you change your job. And I found out I was colorblind, which is my father's fault anyways. So I couldn't do any air crew stuff because they don't like that when you can't tell which one's the red button. So I changed it to ground option with just infantry. And then my dad was a recruiter for 11 years. So he thought someone screwed me over. And then I'm telling him up, I did it on purpose. It was on purpose. And at one point I said, I don't know why y'all are being such douchebags about this. To my father, who served 20 years in the United States Navy and helped build the old school. I don't remember saying it. I just know now from context clues. But no, he got me off the ground and I was on my back on the driveway. And his knee was in my chest. I didn't know what was going on. My mom got him off me. Go to your room. I get in there and I'm like, oh God, what the fuck just happened? He tackled me onto the damn bed. You know what's going to happen in the Marine Corps? You call it E8, a douchebag to his face. I was like, ding, that's what happened. And that right one, there. Yeah, he could have got a few more licks in and I would have got it. But he didn't close fist hit us ever. He scared the crap out of me, but he never hit me. It was more scare the piss out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him being mad like it was yesterday, but I still don't remember saying it.
Just like you don't remember when the IED went off.
My brain control deleted it, which, you know, it's a safety mechanism.
Yeah.
Good job, brain.
You know, I say put it in a box, throw it on the top shelf where I can't reach it.
Yeah, I just did the...
My wheelchair raises up.
It's true. Does it?
Did you get your new one yet? Yeah.
You got your new one?
No. No, the one I use in the house, it raises up fairly high. The most I actually use that for is for the pool. When the kids get in, they jump off the armrest. So I give them a high dive.
Do you sometimes, when you're home alone, just crank it up to high just so you feel like you're 6'6"?
I did that on prosthetics one time. No, I don't do it to just... No, well, one, it goes slower at that height for safety purposes, which is because I would go fast around the corner and die. But no, if anything, it's weird. And that's why they don't put your prosthetics... Like, if you're a double above the knee, they encourage you to go an inch or two shorter than you were, your stock height, because it's more stable. Your body's used to being this height. If you go a little shorter, you'll be more stable. But taller, you start messing with your equilibrium because nothing's used to being that tall at all. I had running legs that made me 6'6" when I was only 5'9" in real life. And I was like, so I can see on top of the refrigerator. This is crazy.
Once in your life, your body actually fit your dick size?
Damn. Twice in one episode. We don't need to talk about this, sir.
You have like a soundboard for that?
I need one. Like,
it's bad enough. It's bad enough that you are aware. Let's just move on. Anyways, we've talked about penises way too many times on this episode. Let's talk about another trauma you had.
Let's do it.
Yeah, break into what was C.
Well, I sent you
a message. A was the thyroid, B was bipolar dad.
Yeah.
You posted a bit of a fuck you, like, to people message on Facebook the other day, and I was like, I gotta say something.
Ooh.
Yeah, cool. Sometimes I get a little, you know, depressy-stressy.
No, I like that you express yourself. People bitch about stuff like that on Facebook, but I use it like a journal. I post shit all the time because I'm like, you don't have to fucking follow me.
Yeah, I don't typically, but I was just like, listen, fuck you guys and fuck all this shit.
And so, I was like, you know, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, I got you. That heart snap thing that you do.
I'm doing it in my heart. Oh, wait, that's almost it.
That counts. I'm going to do it like this now for you.
That's almost it.
We were going to name that's our new logo. We're going to do a, you holding your fingers like that, and us, this is our new hand signature for just love for us.
Love for you. Love for us. Love forever.
That's perfect, dude. We were going to do this before we named it One and a Third. We were going to name it Nux to Nub, because when you fist bump him, you fist bump him on his nub, and it's the coolest fist bump of all time. Mm. It's got a fist on it.
I'm a peace kind of girl.
Yeah.
I can still do that.
So we were going to be Nux the Nub, and then they wanted to go this route, which I'm cool with. But we were still going to like try to market some shirts with Nux the Nub or something, but maybe we need to throw this in the mix.
Peace and love forever.
It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. What was the hand signal in Jennifer Lawrence movies?
Yeah.
Oh, I did that. Fingers? No, this. Three fingers? So when I graduated high school, it was like streamed for people that, you know, lived out of the state family to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking hated my school. So I literally did that after I got my diploma and walked back.
I love it. It's
like, peace, I'm out, bitches.
I love it. I hated my school too. So I quit.
I love that for you.
And look at me now.
The movie's called Hunger Games, for the record.
Living upstairs in someone's attic.
I just know his brain is gonna mess with him later. Still didn't acknowledge it. Never mind.
Hunger Games. There's a new one coming out.
Yes, I love seeing movies. So.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's got mixed reviews.
I don't care. I think. Stop me.
Do you? No. And I'm not trying to crap on people going and seeing stuff. If you like horror movies, people are losing their shit over Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Thanksgiving, all the reviews I've seen. What?
It was a horror movie called Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Never heard of
Eli Roth. It should be the guy who did Hostel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fucking down.
By the way, Hostel?
It should be out now. Or I think on Thanksgiving. I don't remember. It should be out now, though, because, again, it's a Thanksgiving-based horror movie. And it's got Patrick Dempsey. But like a lot of people are blown away by his performance, like he's new to this or something, like might be his best work. And then like every single kill is memorable and crazier and just, yeah, like people are blown away. Like Eli Roth didn't leave any meat on the bone, apparently.
I guess there's trailers out for it. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it
like, I saw it, yeah.
Is it like, in a world where you have to go to see your family all Thanksgiving Day? I don't know.
That was fantastic.
I think
it's the place where the mythology of Thanksgiving started. That town. Mm. And then from there, I don't know why the who is doing the what, but
wow. Yeah,
someone starts doing the bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Man, I need to put some ominous music on here. I just wanted to say ominous. It's such a good word. Triple word.
That was I hate ASMR. That was solid.
I know. I know like a lot of big words because I used to spend my time in the library in school during lunch.
You don't look like a librarian at all.
You get that a lot.
You keep saying the stuff she hears every time she says these things.
Yeah,
because I absolutely hit her with the one time at band camp, and I immediately regretted it too. Because I was like, "Yep."
Welcome to
every time that gets brought up.
The most common thing that I don't know why, but when men try to hit on me, one of the most common things they tell me is that I'm short. Like, I don't fucking know that.
You're not like exceptionally short.
I'm 5'2" and a half.
You don't feel that short. You wear big shoes.
No. But so my best friend is Ty, and she's shorter than me. Like, she's probably like here on me. So now it happens more when we're out together. And now what we do is when like men hit on us by telling us that we're short is we act surprised.
You're like, what?
I go, what?
You can
no shit, Sherlock.
And then I go up to her husband and I go, did you know your wife is short? Yeah, and then they look at me like, oh my God, I'm a dumbass. And I'm like, yeah, well, get him.
It's probably the same shit if you're super tall and everybody goes, do you play basketball?
Yeah. Mm.
Cliche work questions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody gets that shit.
Yeah. I don't talk to old white ladies who are drinking at bars anymore. because I like to wear black shirts and they like to cry when you tell them that you got blown to smithereens for their freedoms. And then for some reason, I'm the shoulder they're going to cry on. And I'm like, but I still got one of those. I don't need you to do that. And I'm a nice person. So I usually give them that hug and let them do their thing. And when they remove themselves from my personal space, I got like a damn makeup face on my sweet black shirt I was wearing. And I'm like, son of a bitch.
Damn.
Steal all your Werthers.
That's when you need the elevating wheelchair.
Just elevate out of that situation.
Just lift yourself above her reach.
So that's the cool thing about the chair you know me in, because in a bar situation, I don't usually have the legs down. So like if someone pop, like, so my chair is a Segway chair. It's a hoverboard. So like leaning is how it goes forward or backwards. And then the Pokeball is the left and right. So yeah, I don't put the stationary legs down in a bar or a crowd. So if someone tries to come in for something, I'm immediately like, you, like, just, oh, you weren't coming for me. I'm out of here.
Oh my God. Listen. People also like to pick me up because I'm small, and it's very weird and uncomfortable for me. Because it's not like I'm not one. I don't even like my mother hugging me. Like I hate when people touch me, and I will literally wipe it off of me. I don't know. It's one of my like OCD sensory
you wipe
things.
Hugs off.
I do.
Did you do that?
If
when
somebody
I hugged
bumps
you downstairs?
Into me, no. It's like when it's somebody that I like or I'm friends with. If I'm not okay with it, I'll say it ahead of time. Okay. I'll be like, hey, like, I can't be touched right now because it'll be like way too much for me. But like at a certain level, it'll always create just a slight discomfort. But I've learned how to like do things like that in normal settings where like people like are like, hey, hello, you know.
How does that work in relationships?
It has been difficult because there are people that express their most of the time they express their love by touching and cuddling. And, you know,
so you don't even like it when it's your partner?
No, not really. Like, It can be, but like, so, you know, like the five love languages, I took that test and usually you have a good mixture of all of them. Mm-hmm. Touch was a zero for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. My touch is mine. Like that's the one that it's almost exclusively touch. So I was just like,
oh man,
that is common. It is. It really is. I don't like, my mom also does this weird thing. Like, cause touch is definitely her love language. Where she'll like rub her leg or her foot on me, and it like makes me like.
That's kind of a weird one.
I don't really want her because she doesn't know that she's doing it. It's just kind of like a.
No, I get it. I'm a pretty physical person too.
Yeah,
the physically affectionate person. I always wondered though, like how that equated. Like I'm sure you could be with someone who also feels the same way, and it probably is great.
I like compressing, like. You know, like squeezing, that's really nice. But I don't like when people like touch soft like that. Okay. That stuff is like, I hate that.
So hugs. Gotcha.
Like compressiony. People I know too.
The weighted blanket was a game changer for sleeping when it came to the pressure. Hey, I got a 35 pounder.
Yeah, same. I just remembered I own one of those, but it's not with me. It's in another state somewhere and I don't know which.
It's difficult because I like those, but I can't sleep with them because if I do have a night terror, then I feel trapped really easily, really fast.
My main beef is that if I don't have the house extra cold at night, I'll wake up just drenched because I am hot, period. And then I sleep hot too. So like, it's just terrible. We had to start the night cuddling and then it was more of a get away from me now. Because and then when both my kids end up in the bed because of a nightmare or something, they got it from me, so I'm sitting there just dying in my own bed. I gotta crank it down to like 64.
I was gonna say I'd like it to be like 60 degrees in the room and plenty of blankets.
Throw up. No,
you don't like it that cold? That's my jam. Whenever
I'm cold all the time though, but that's my my thyroid, so.
But like Bachman has it down pat, dude. They put a heating blanket the exact size of their mattress on the mattress. They turn the air in the room down, turn the heating blanket up as much as they need it, so it's warm in the bed.
I do overheat in my sleep though, so it's a problem.
Yeah, then you can turn it off and you'll be good.
Anything that is introducing heat to me in the middle of the night is going to burn my house down because we're going to combust together. It's going to be a problem. That made me nauseous when you just said they have a heated blanket on.
It has a fucking... button.
Yuck.
turns on and off.
That's why, well, like, I have a crustacean. They're called, it's called a menstruation crustacean. But it looks like a little lobster, and you like warm it up in the microwave, and okay. Which is nice because then you could just use it, and then it's like done being hot after a certain time.
Yeah.
Say have you again. Seen the? I heard the description, but
menstruation crustacean.
Have you seen the crustacean menstruation station? No, they sell these. It's a real thing. When she said that, I thought that's what she was going for at first, but I've seen that too. It's basically a heating pad that's just shaped like a lobster, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You just warm it up in the microwave, and it's nice because then it's done too hot.
If you get upset, do you have menstruation, crustacean, station, frustration?
Yes. I imagine if someone knocked it over. It's literally one of those, it's a little thing that looks like a lobster in a tux. That holds a tray. And then on the tray was all the stuff, pads and tampons and all the stuff. Cool. And someone had it in their house. It was just like, girl power, we're not hiding our shit. Like, and I'm like, do you? It's your house. Called it the crustacean menstruation station.
It's meant, okay, like this heating pad is meant for like people that have like cramps and shit like that. And like, it is useful for that. But I have a lot of pain from my medical problems. So I just like, you know. Put it on my back, put it on my stomach, whatever.
Dig it. And then it cools off whenever you're getting hot.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's all a system.
Boom.
Yeah. I do everything in a very specific way.
It's also
routines.
Your OCD. And your
OCD, we love her.
So how, what things in particular with your OCD, with your, you know, having everything's in order, what's like the craziest one? What's the...
So
the most bananas ones.
It used to be really bad when I was in school, like when I was in junior high. And so I used to walk in and out of doors because I don't have the cleaning type of OCD. I just have the like things are supposed to be the way that they are supposed to be kind of OCD. And then like impulsive thoughts and like ritualistic OCD really bad. So like I used to... I'm obsessed with the number 3. I don't know why. I just think it's like the most perfect number ever.
Okay. The number three.
The number 3, yeah. It's the most perfect number.
All right, we'll talk about this later.
I hate the number 6. It's like imperfect. Number 9's awesome. It's 3 sets of 3s. I can go all day long. But so I used to like tap in sequences of 3s. And I still kind of do that, but it's not as bad. But when I was in school, I used to have to walk in and out of doors until it felt right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which could be any, was it a numbered sequence or was it just a feeling?
No, it was just a feeling. Yeah.
Until the vibe was right.
Like how many times would be a lot?
I think the most I ever did, it was really like 10 times in one time, but it's like hard to explain when you're in junior high and you're already like really not cool.
Right. And they're like, what are you doing?
And I'm just like, oh, you know, I find different reasons. Oh, I was waiting for some so-and-so. I thought they were coming or something. I've mastered the technique of all of my weird like tics and things to make them look like they're part of normal everyday life.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's why people are always like, oh, you don't look like you're depressed. You don't look like you have OCD. You don't look like you're inspector, you know.
Did I look like I walked in the door 6 times? Because I did.
You did.
I was having a talk with me and management.
You know,
I'm curious how many people like that listen to the podcast or people that we just run into deal with things like that and can't. This is why I love this platform so much. It's like if one person listens to you and goes, man, I've been living that and had a hard time saying that and listening to you say it, that shit means so much to me. That's part of
when
my
I was deal. Like, because Bachman's got that kind of brain, too. I told you at one point, I don't remember if it was here, but I got 1500 DVDs on the shelves right here.
Yeah.
And they are alphabetized. And when he came through to visit, he was like, please tell me they're alphabetized. I was like, yep. And he sat there for like a second and I like watched his teeth start to itch.
Yeah.
He was like, so what I would need you to do though is do them by color. And I was just Joe, let's go back out there. Let's just leave this room all together, Joe.
I have something for this. Okay.
Them all being different colors is driving me crazy. And I was just like, all right, cool. Let's go to the living room where everything's the right colors.
Listen. Okay. So I have I have something for this. Like my closet, right, is organized by sleeve length and by color and by occasion. And my therapist was like, so how would you feel if I went in your closet? And I immediately was like, and she's like, I can tell you're really uncomfortable. And I was like, yes, I want to vomit the idea of you going in there. She's like, I didn't even say what I was going to do. And I was like, yeah, I am imagining all the worst things. And she's like, if I just grabbed one shirt from this section, and I was like, no, thank you. Like, don't put that in my head, please. Then
the count will be off.
I was so stressed.
Three sets of three.
I'm telling you.
I'll tell you how I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even be able to know if I had that gear inside of me, because all I own are black t-shirts. They're all for the same occasion. It's a wedding, I'm wearing a black t-shirt. If it's a concert, I'm wearing a black t-shirt. So all my shit's the same. It just goes in a pile in a drawer.
Oh man, I'm thinking about now because I have like impulsive thoughts and stuff like that, intrusive thoughts. I mean, I'm now thinking about that happening and I can't stop thinking about it now. That's what your brain is like all the time when you have OCD. That's how you know if you have it or not.
So you're thinking about like organizing my clothes?
No, I'm thinking about her messing up.
Her messing up yours, and it's fucking with you.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
never gonna be a setting that my therapist is at my house moving my clothes, you know? Right. But you envision it and you see it, and you're like,
no, nope.
No, no, thank you. Wild. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't She's think over there
rubbing her phone.
I know. It's stress. It makes me tick so bad. I'm like,
I've experienced enough sort of things like that to know that I feel like every human has like a tiny sprinkle of OCD about something. But now being around Joe, listening to you talk, it's like on level 10, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or 12 out of 10.
I mean, it's why it's called a spectrum, just because we're down here in the whole, like, I have to have my coffee just like this or whatever. I call like,
preferences.
You get down to them and it's just like, oh, no. Those herbs are not organized correctly on your counter. Can I fuck with those herbs real quick? And I'm like, okay, go ahead, Joe. Go fuck with them.
I call it my doom button because like the difference is like I definitely have preferences, which is probably more spectrum-y of me, where I'm like, I like this to be like this or you know, whatever. But then when it comes to like my actual disorder, when I feel like if I don't do this, something bad is going to happen. That's how I know. It's like
have you ever tried to like not even place it within your own life exactly, but in general, why do you think that happens to people? I know that's like a psychologist might not be able to answer that question, but
it's super genetic.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can tell you my mom's definitely like got OCD. Not like probably not near as extreme as mine is. I actually also suffer from trichotillomania, which is a fancy way of saying I rip my hair out. But it's not like on purpose. It's just like whenever I go through panic attacks and stuff like that, it just starts like you get the intrusive thoughts and they just keep going. And then you just start ripping your hair out.
Is it like a gradual ripping or do you just grab
I don't know. I literally black out.
Wow.
One time I had tangled my fingers in my hair so bad that when I came like back from my like flashback attack, my fingers were stuck in my hair.
Wow.
Yeah. I like was losing circulation at the tips of my fingers because they were so tied up in my hair.
Quite impressive.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could do that on purpose.
Could you say the word again?
Yeah. Trichotillomania. Trichotillomania. Yeah. Trick.
Again.
Trick is. Come on. So we're in the T's now. So what's after T as far as your stuff goes?
Let's see.
And now we've come to...
We're all the way to T.
T. That's what my middle initial stands for. Trichotillomania. It's not Taylor, actually. They just knew.
Will that make it more or less white?
You repeat yourself 36 times every time somebody listens to your name.
Yeah, so I change it to Taylor.
No, well, it's not easier if your middle name is simpler. I would say mine's the letter J. The end. J. And yeah, no, it's a problem. Are you sure it's not J-A-Y? I'm like, I'm a grown-ass man. I fought in two wars. I have two children. I know what my middle name is. Like,
so your middle name is literally just the letter J.
Yes, it is my grandfather's middle name. I am honored to carry it. He's actually this man in these pictures.
Holy shit, that's why. I've never heard that.
No, so he was, so Richard J. Conrad, my grandfather, my mother's father, the story goes there were a bunch of male ancestors with J names, and he was the only boy, and they didn't want to honor one and snub another, and they didn't want to not honor somebody because that's how they did it back then. You had to, the middle name meant something like that. So they went with Richard J. No period, no A-Y, no nothing, just to honor everybody. And then my mother gave it to me because my brother's first names are two of the J's, Joseph and Jacob. And then they didn't have a third J they liked. So Tyler J.
Interesting.
I love that. You have a backstory for your middle just name.
Letter.
Well, I laugh anytime any certificate I get or something with that that has a period behind it. I'm like, you misspelled my fucking name. It don't stand for nothing, damn it.
How do you abbreviate J?
You don't. It's not abbreviated. The letter J.
Yeah, but you need to abbreviate it.
No, you don't.
You just start saying it and then stop.
Just.
Yeah.
They're like, are you?
It's literally as short as it could be, man. Fuck shit.
That's wild. I have literally, you're the first person I've ever met that had just one letter for their middle name.
Boom. My initials are.
One is funny too. So I've been on TikTok doing my thing for a little while, and my mother finally just got a TikTok. And found there's a video I did that someone was explaining it, that if you have the same gender as your older siblings, they have your parents' like preferred name, and then you were like they had to figure it out along the way, and I chimed in and explained the stuff I explained a minute ago, and she was like, you could tell them about your middle name, it's a family name, and I was just like, yes ma'am, I'll do that. So I was just like, this just in, my mother has a TikTok now. And then I explained my middle name to TikTok.
Like back in the day, you know, so how many siblings do you have?
I'm the youngest of three.
Okay, the youngest of three.
Oh. Yeah, two older brothers.
Your oldest brother comes out and she's got out the notebook and the number two pencil and she's writing down 36 different spellings of 83 different names and trying to like figure out what looks best on paper. And by the time she got to you, she's like, I don't know, bro. Just make it a J.
Kind of. No, they put a lot. She's at least going to listen to this. And I will. And it is not because she's going to listen to it, but I will defend that. They put a lot of care into our names. And again, my oldest brother got three family names. Joseph is a great grandfather. Conrad is my mother's maiden name. Southern is obviously our last name. Jacob.
Is your mom's last name Southern?
It is now for the last 40 years that she's been married to my father. It was Conrad.
That's all shouting.
I'm going to see them. That's why we had to record tonight, is because I'm leaving tomorrow to drive to Tennessee. And Jake.
What part?
What is it?
What part of Tennessee?
Gainesboro.
Gainesboro. Is that outside of Nashville? Yeah.
No. Damn, well, I think it isn't technically everything outside of Nashville. It's near.
Depends on how far you want to go out, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say. I
mean, I'm near Nashville, I suppose.
Wherever Cookeville is, I'm actually not sure where it lines up on the state itself, to be honest with you.
It's like when people say something's walking distance.
I can only go down my stairs.
Everywhere's walking distance if you have enough time.
Or chair battery.
That's real short-sighted and rude of me to presume that everyone's got legs.
There you go.
My only thing on the walking distance are there ramps on the curbs, because I can't hop every curb.
Yeah. I did see a cool-ass wheelchair with like tank treads that they invented that'll go upstairs and downstairs.
Yeah, those things are cumbersome and slow, but really fucking awesome. I have an off-road wheelchair that doesn't work right now, but it can go over down trees. Like, it's an amazing piece of equipment.
Damn.
Yeah, some dude. It was American Track Chair, I think, is the brand. But a guy and his son were huge outdoorsmen, and then his son was in a car accident and became paralyzed from the belly button down. And dad basically quit, sold everything, figured out how to get his son outdoors again, and like spent the next several years doing R&D on wheelchairs and came up with this crazy tracked monstrosity that's got attachments for fishing rods and rifles and toolboxes and tackle box. Like, it's got everything you want to do outdoors. They can get you the attachment for it.
That sounds amazing.
Very cool shit.
That's pretty cool. Shit.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
So moving on, like, where you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, sitting and talking to us about it is a, you're in a comfortable place with it.
Yeah.
You've sat with it. And as I tried to explain to him the other day, I mean, at least for me with depression, it's like it'll never be gone.
No.
But you stay, sometimes I'm a step in front of the cloud and I'm like, I can feel it. Mm-hmm. I know it's there, but I'm like, I'm just going to stay right here in this. I'm just keep stepping and trying to stay just outside of it, you know? But sometimes you don't. Sometimes the cloud consumes you and you just fucking buckle down. And like I said last week, it's like it can be like a cold. You don't know if it's going to be 3 days or a day or a week or 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say.
I call it riding the wave. And so, like we were talking about earlier, how some people want to like fix you or change you, or like I have a lot of different nuances that make my life a little difficult, like mainly being in public, like in grocery stores and like at bars and stuff. So I have to be with people that I know I'm comfortable with. If something were to go wrong or to happen, or if I were to shut down, then I would be okay, you know? But sometimes I just need a ride. I am fine with who I am. I am different, but I am not less.
I like it.
Yeah. Got that from Temple Grandin.
That's a good line.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Temple Grandin. Her book is great. My son's on the spectrum, so I've done a lot of research into autism myself. She was a spectacular woman.
Oh, she was. You got to watch the movie.
Who stars in it?
I am not good with names.
I want to say Claire Danes, but. Well, no, because my brain, I would have known who starred in it if we didn't talk about it. But the woman who did it did an amazing job and is an amazing actress. And I cannot remember off the top of my head who, but I know that she's one of the more talented ones.
That happened a long time, dude.
Shit, I got made fun of
her saying Dag Nabbit. I say that all the time.
You should.
Darn tootin'.
I do. I say stuff like that, okay?
Her dad gummit. Dad gummit.
I was laughing at one of the episodes. I said, gosh. Like three times, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what are you
Willikers
doing?
Gersh.
I'm not the guy that says gosh.
I do that, and then I make up my own curse words.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You just put two other curse words together?
Fuck.
I do that too. Especially
That's how you do it. Sometimes I cuss like a three-year-old.
Yeah, that's kind of the three-year-old thing. Ask my kids. I'll be like, I do very similar things when I'm driving. I don't get road rage per se. I just like to talk a lot of shit.
Me too.
I get over it real quick.
Bro. Yeah.
You get, I know you talked about you don't like driving too much.
I hate
driving. Well, no. So it's funny. I enjoy the act of driving because I don't know why. I think I was a wheelman in a previous life or something. But I drove Humvees in Iraq and then in Afghanistan as a senior Marine. I chose to go to the school to learn how to drive the new trucks we had. Because I liked driving. And when I got back, I was always the one who wanted to be behind the wheel. That's my dad, too. He won't let anyone else take over on a road trip. You don't take turns if Lee's driving.
Me.
I get
I enjoy driving a lot, but I hate other humans who are also driving. You've seen it. I'm one of the most chill dudes around. If you hit my people, I'm going to try to run you over. But if we're driving together and you don't use your blinker, or if you fucking cut me off, or you're doing any, I will lose my shit like a shit collector with amnesia. Like there's one of the only places I for real lose my cool. And I'm not proud of it, but it's, I get real mad real fast if you don't know how to drive.
Yeah, I feel that. I love to drive, but mm-hmm. yeah, people can be fucking. And everybody, you know, since I've lived so many places and been so many places, everyone thinks that their city's traffic's the worst. Every city. Like, oh, yeah. Philly traffic. Oh, Orlando traffic. Like, it sucks everywhere, dude. Mm-hmm. I've never been in traffic and been yeah. like, man, this traffic's just, you know, it's not regular as bad as it's still.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I did have a playlist on my phone for a while called Traffic Jams. And it was like My Boyfriend's Back and like Ice Ice Baby and Tell Me What You Want and all kinds of stuff that you...
By memory.
I'd have the windows down just losing my shit to traffic jams. What happened?
She said she knows every word to Ice Ice Baby. I was like, you doing that at karaoke tonight?
No.
Don't do a video of it if she does.
I would never.
Well, I would never.
Yes, I too.
Really?
I too know every word to that song.
You were going. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I just wouldn't have expected you to.
I used to just go and like support my friends, and they would try so hard to get me to sing, and they would put like the mic, and I'd be like, yeah.
You're like, nah.
But then like the same time I got into like car sales, my best friend was like, well, it's like, come on, like, let's go do it. And I was just like, I'll go. And I showed up. And then like this other guy that got me into car sales, he was like, don't be a pussy. If you want to do it, do it. You get what you want. He was talking about car sales, but I was like, karaoke. And so,
so you got like,
so I was like, don't be a pussy. And I did.
You got like backdoor bullied into doing karaoke.
Yeah. And now I love it.
That's awesome. Nothing like peer pressure to make you sing. Like some people are like, yeah, I'm a heroin addict because I was peer pressured. You're like, now I do karaoke.
Yeah. I can't, you can't peer pressure me to do shit either. That's why I took 10 years. So. I was a really, really good kid. If you ask my parents, I never snuck out. I didn't drink underage. I didn't, you know, I just got beat for being there.
I told you, I got that vibe from you pretty quick whenever we first met. I was like, that's
that she gets beat for existing?
Yeah, I'm like, she looks like she's been beat. She's been beat into being kind.
She looks like she can take a hit.
Harner.
Your chin does not look as if it is made of glass at all.
That's good because she doesn't look like she can make a meatloaf very well. She better be able to take a punch. I'm just kidding.
Wife,
meatloaf!
Clearly, we're joking. Domestic violence is a horrific thing.
It's awful.
I co-sign that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll domestically beat the shit out of anyone that's beating the shit out of you, just so you know.
We love them.
Yeah.
We co-sign domestic violence being awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've stated before, just so you know, that I said I'm going to say a bunch of ridiculous shit, but it's all in jokes. I just don't think anything should be off limits to joke about. That doesn't mean that I don't understand that it's horrific.
I joke about my trauma all the time. That's how I, you know,
100%. You know? Yeah.
It's the best way through.
One of the most
you get up close on them and laugh.
One of the most fucked up jokes I tell is there are these shoes that I wear like all the time, and they are designer shoes. And then like people will just automatically be like, oh, I like your shoes, which I think is really funny because I think all designer shit looks all the same. And then I go, thanks. They're my dead grandma's because they are. And then they'll go, what?
And then
the
they get
fuck?
Real uncomfortable.
They go, what the fuck? And then I take it one further and they go, what? And I go, she's not going to wear them. She's cremated.
Yeah. She don't got her foots in
them. Took them off before they started the fire.
Yeah.
I got a thing that my daughter says that's funny that I want to know what you think about. She tells her friends all the time that I hugged the stripper shoes off of her.
I love that.
It's
as
so funny.
Someone with all shitty parents, love that.
Yeah. I got a good relationship with her. She's still fucked up, but
it's okay. It just happens. You know, sometimes it's genetic. Sometimes it's environmental, and sometimes it's Maybelline.
It's probably a combination of all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know, maybe CoverGirl.
Maybe.
I'm a Rimmel guy.
Easy, breezy, beautiful. I have trauma. That's my tagline.
I would buy from them. I'll have her on eventually, but I didn't want to have her back to back with the episode about me, because I assume you're going to start prying and asking shit about me. What's it like growing up with him as a father?
I don't have anything like that written down in a Johnny Cupcakes notepad.
You know it'll go that way. You know it'll be.
I'm not already contemplating such things. What are you talking about?
Well, and the funny thing is that we were just talking the other day about her mother takes credit for all the good things about her. Hey, yo,
this is Zoe.
Hello.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
They said, hey, thank you so much. She was bringing me some water.
I like your jammies.
Thank you. They say, like your jammies.
They're sick. Rat.
She said, thank you.
Adorable.
No, we were just talking about how, you know, her mom wants to take credit for all the good things about her, but all the shit that sucks is my fault. And I'm like, come on, dude. She's got my big honking lips. She looks like me. She's hot. I would make a hot chick. She sings well. Where do you think she gets that from? Her daddy be a singer for the last 30 plus years. Whatever.
She got my whole face, too.
Yeah. Isn't it funny, though?
The kids have...
How you make a pretty girl.
Good. Weird, right?
Yeah.
It don't make sense on paper at all.
It's not a bad butt chin. A little bit. Just a little butt chin.
I can see that cleft.
I got it from my father. Clefting.
Yeah, thanks, I got my dad's entire face. I can show you a picture. It's really weird.
Genetics.
You put a chisel to your chin to make sure you had a cleft.
Kidding. I got this from my biological father, not my stepdad.
The only thing I got from my dad, I mean, a few things, but like physically, my ass starts in the middle of my back. I reach over my shoulder to get my wallet, dude, and that's what my dad gave me. People are like, put your hands on your hips, and I'm like, it's not cool, dude. I don't like
very
it.
Very rude.
I don't want it. People are like, your butt's which is funny. Hanging out. I can't help it. It starts in the center of my back. It's not
my,
hot.
My dad gave me his frame as well, and it's the exact opposite. We're mostly torso, which obviously is funny now when I say we have short legs and are mostly torso, because I have short legs and I'm mostly torso. But
you've been 2 feet tall. Now
I am 3 foot 10.
You have some options.
Dude, it's probably the reason why you survived losing 16 liters of blood or whatever you lost.
It was all in your chest.
Just say what you just. No, they lost count at 160 units. And that's enough to bleed out all the way 3 times. So, how I got bounced off the building. But I just texted you the picture of me and my father at the same age.
I'm excited for this.
To show the class. Because, we was similar.
Good I like Lord, that you're sitting dude. The same way, too.
Right?
Well, you're sitting crisscross applesauce.
Oh,
it's a very oddly specific thing.
You're kind of making the same face too.
I like
it. He gave it to me. My mom spent 9 months making me, and it looked like I just separated from my father.
Yeah, it's got as a woman with a child. I wonder if that makes you mad. I wonder if that's what my ex is like. Fuck him. Like he looks like her.
I think in what I've noticed is if it's harped on a lot by the peanut gallery more than anything, is when it can start getting under the skin, where it's just, oh my God, it looks just like you. Oh my God, were you even involved? And like by the 100th time you hear that bullshit, be like, I made it. I did all the hard shit.
Well, what's funny is when she's around her mom, people say she looks like her, and I can see that too. So it's like, my daughter says she looks like me, but I see her mom in her too. So I kind of think that's how genetics work.
Yeah, I look just like my mom.
Well,
really?
Yeah. Only yeah, mine.
Me. Yep.
Ash made them the same exact mix. Zoe has my face and Ashley's hair and body, so she's never allowed to do a squat or a lunge ever. And then Damon is got her face, my hair, and my body. So my calves made it. But yeah, and everyone's just, oh, I can see a little bit of both of y'all. Da, da, da. I'm like, well, I'm helping raise him. He makes faces that I make, but it's her face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make the same facial expressions as my mom.
So you like that, or does that bother you sometimes?
Oh my God. It bugs me because I have so much tension with my mom.
That's right.
This one right here.
Yeah. There's times when I see
my dad gave me these.
Your angry eyebrows.
Like that most people can't go that deep with it.
No, that's a
I think a part Klingon, man.
you get that fucking angle, dude. That's intense.
Right? It's real.
This is really good fucking podcasting for the people that aren't watching the video.
There's video, I swear. Oh, so the people who weren't checking it out, I was deeply furrowing my brow.
She's losing it over the Klingon.
Yes.
You get into
Star Trek. I got her to snort on camera. Yeah.
For those of you just listening, Ty is able to, what do you call it?
Furrow.
Mm-hmm. His brow.
Deeply.
Very deeply. And he does get way down in there. Like a Klingon.
Yep.
Wow. That's intense, dude. You could have been on that show, Angel, or whatever it was, where they used to do that. That was a weird reference.
That was a very strange reference.
I used to play after Charmed.
Yeah, Charmed was legit,
yeah,
too.
I love Charmed.
It's pretty good.
I'm embarrassed to say how many times I've watched it.
I'm embarrassed to say how many times I've masturbated to Alyssa Milano.
Who hasn't?
I knew she was going to be hot when she was like 7. That was real creepy. I'm just kidding.
Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was one that you were like, man, when she grows up, she's going to be very attractive. Like, won't say anything inappropriate.
What
she was in Remember the Titans when she was a kid, and then she was in Heroes.
Heroes. I love that show.
Yeah, the show that started out stellar and gradually got not good.
A lot do that, right? I mean, a lot of them. I feel like a lot of
my favorite. Sorry,
carry on too long. Yeah, the delay is rough. My bad.
1, 2, 3. My bad. My favorite kinds of shows are the ones that at least that either ended on purpose or like if they got canceled, the finale works still. Like Castle was one that was awesome, and it gradually started getting a little crazy and a little wonky. And then when they didn't get renewed, the season finale of whichever, I don't remember, 6 seasons, I think, was like, it could work as an ending, so it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you really love a show, you hate when it goes off, but there's been so many shows, like, I'm trying to think of one that comes to mind. Walking Dead's a great one.
Yeah.
Where it was so good, and then you're like, all right. It's getting kind of off the rails.
I didn't finish
strange.
It. I'm not going to lie. I watched it for a very, very long, long time. I never finished it. I got to meet Norman Reedus in person. He's cool.
I don't know who Norman Reedus is.
No, sorry. Not him. I wanted to. I got to meet Michael Rooker, which was his brother in the show.
Ooh, so did I. I've met Michael Rooker.
Cool. He's super fucking cool.
He's cool as shit. Norman Reedus is...
he's so fucking cool.
The guy that was in Blade 2 as well. I don't know what his name was. In Walking Dead.
Norman Reedus?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a motorcycle ride and show with Keanu.
Daryl.
Yes, that guy.
Yep, his name's Daryl.
Oh, I know who that is.
I ship Daryl and Carol. It's been so many years.
Yeah, dude. Love that guy.
No, so Sons of Anarchy was that one for me. God, it started out so damn great. And then after Opie died, I'm just like, spoiler alert. But I was like, I'm done. I don't need this show anymore. This is horseshit.
Do you have to spoiler alert when it's been out for like a decade? That's kind of unreasonable, isn't it? I don't know.
It's the internet, man. Someone's going to be like, fuck, Opie dies.
I'm watching that.
Damn it.
Actually, the fact that Momoa died so early is the reason I never watched Game of Thrones. Like, if he'd have stayed in it longer, I probably would have checked it out.
That's another one.
And now I know everyone loathes how it ended. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm good. I don't need to start now.
I'm not with people on that, though. I think it ended how it went the whole time. It ended unpredictably, and everybody wanted a predictable ending. I thought it ended great. I think people are.
You're literally the only person I've ever heard say that. But I mean, I respect your opinion, of course. And I'm glad it ended good for you. because the rest of the world's furious.
I just don't know what people expected of a show that the best thing about it was how unpredictable it was, how quickly things shifted, how many people died off that you didn't expect to die off. And the end of it was very unfulfilling, which is why I loved it. I didn't want to be fulfilled. I wanted it to treat me the way it treated me the whole fucking time. Does that make sense?
I'm unsatisfied.
It makes some sense, but when I'm unsatisfied, I can't be satisfied with something if I'm unsatisfied with it. If the key describer is unsatisfied, how am I supposed to be unsatisfied? Mm.
You probably don't like M. Night Shyamalan movies then, because his movies are not satisfying, and I love everything about that.
It's like depends on – he did a couple. He had a couple bangers, man.
He gets you up to this level of discomfort, and you ride there waiting for a crescendo or a peak, and there's no peak, and then the movie's over. And I love that discomfort. I think that's the point.
You describe me, it's making me want to bomb.
Whenever the secondhand embarrassment. I hate watching ones with all the secondhand embarrassment because I can't
watch it. I can't watch it like this.
Like I have to watch murder podcasts. I can't listen to the unsolved ones. It just
you don't like that.
My skin itch.
No, I get it.
They officially live in her closet.
I just feel like it's the same reason I love some of the music I love. It's like I feel like if you do the same thing over and over and over and it gets so predictable, there's just not fun for me.
Look,
I'd rather be made to feel uncomfortable for a minute.
I don't need to predict it. I just got to have some
kind of closure.
Yeah, closure.
It's what we're all closure. Lucifer ended on such a well. Lucifer ended with a beautiful bow tied on it. Everything was like there was no loose ends. I like those.
I'm talking about,
but no, studies show. About. Say what?
I said that's what I'm talking about. I need the closure.
A lot of people were mad at How I Met Your Mother. But if they got the DVD, there's one more episode
that brings it all together.
The episode that they didn't air as the series finale is the series finale everyone needed, where everything gets tied up nicely and you're no longer like everyone was really fucking mad about how that one ended because it was all loose ends. And yeah, they wrapped it up in one damn episode and didn't air it. You just literally had to buy the DVD.
We ended up getting
most people, it didn't hit like that. People didn't know that because people still talk about it.
Wow. I watched a lot of that, but I don't think I got to the end. There's been a few though that I've watched that I thought were really good that got canceled before they ever really came to fruition.
Firefly. That's always a bummer.
Firefly is a perfect example.
Serenity did wrap it up nicely.
It's true, but I felt like that could have went on for a long time.
Absolutely. And fun fact about Serenity, the movie, the follow-on movie for Firefly, they lost all the blueprints to Serenity. And Nathan Fillion saved the day. He was such a fanboy that he took so many pictures of the set that they were able to recreate the set from his personal photo albums.
What a fucking nerd. I love that.
I love that so much. I was like, it would have looked like a different ship somehow without him being a nerd when he first started.
Right, then all the other geeks would have been like, "That's not it. That's not
yeah, exactly. Right. The movie's messed up because this wasn't there, and that one, the flux capacitor was inverted.
1.21 gigawatts, or whatever it says.
Great Scott!
I hope people only consume this with video because it's so much better, dude. It's so much more fun.
I'm so sorry for the only listeners.
Yeah.
My bad.
I mean, it's fine. You can listen.
We just cut out all the blind folks. Blind folks.
Plus, how much better is the video with her on it? Freaking looking at us the whole freaking time, dude.
Stop.
You're really unpleasant to look at, Zach, so I have to concur.
My hair stayed in enough for me to just spike it up and paint it pink. I'd look like one of those fucking troll dolls from the 90s.
Yes, with the gem belly.
Oh, they're back, dude. They're the third movie's coming out in a minute.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow.
Trolls are real again.
That's my people. I need to get a gem belly button. All right.
Gem?
I feel like I look like Rainbow Bright.
I like the shirt. You bring a little color because I always wear black. He always wears black. Black background.
Oh. Well, I am known for wearing.
Nope. And this is Damon. Damon. Stop that.
Let's see. Why, what is that? I know I recognize
it's
that.
It's Fairly Odd Parents.
Fairly Odd Parents. I've definitely watched that.
But he needed to show y'all what his iPad, because that's what he likes to do. He'll be like, what's this? And then he knows, but he wants you to say it out loud.
Yep. And I knew. I knew. Yep.
I love it.
I'll make sure he knows that.
Yeah. Let him know we're in. We're fans.
No, Fairly Odd Parents. But, oh, yeah. I was like, I figured I'd wear, like, bright colors because, you know, I'm going to talk about some depressing shit. So I was like, you know, usually I'm known for wearing dark all the time.
The first time I almost died.
Literally. So when I was in school, I was in choir for like my senior year for the last semester. I did choir. And one of the songs that I had to sing, it translates to Let My Soul Die. And I picked that song.
Wow.
So like when I went in to go sing it for like the, you know, regionals or whatever, I was like, hi, I'm Alexis. I'm singing La Chita Me Morire. And it's like, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's not a sign from the universe. It's not a sign from the universe.
I picked out. I like sad sounding music.
Me too. We talked about that on his episode. Whenever we're feeling something deep down. We don't need happy music. We need the songs that make me feel the feelings so I can get it out.
So I studied music therapy. I almost got my degree in it. I was 1 year away, and then I started doing what I'm doing now, and I love it. But one of the things that helps for like changing your, like helping your mood, is you start with listening to the music of the mood that you're in and just gradually progress.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you that's just like you don't drink to feel better. You drink to feel even better.
Yeah.
Well, when we were texting after you had posted put that post up on Facebook, I was kind of talking about that, where it's like what you want to do when you're in that space is relate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even whether it's to me and you talking to someone who you know goes through it, or with the music you listen to, like I want to be able to relate to the pain that they feel, because that's the pain I feel. It's much different than somebody who, as we've said many times, like a lot of people just really don't, it's not their fault. They just can't fathom or understand. I mean, Ty, you don't really go through depression, and it's been a learning thing for you as well.
Oh yeah. No, there's trial and error really is whenever I started getting my lulls, which are literally just a veil on my day more than anything, which sometimes becomes a weighted blanket rather than like the big type stuff you were talking about you got to deal with. But whenever it was same thing, I would start with, I need to go outside. I need to do something. I need to move. I need to feel happy music or something. And then I would be digging myself deeper. And then, go watch something, make you cry or listen to something, feel the feeling, sit in the dark room for a minute, sit in the shower with the light off. Like just relate to, having the board meeting with your demons. Like you have to create the settings so y'all can all chat.
Well, just go through,
You box it up and put it on the top shelf. I box it up, wrap a rubber band around it and put it under my bed.
Yeah.
My therapist
and I put ball gags on them and leave them in the closet.
That sounds way more fun.
And that's what I'm saying, because we've talked about it a couple times, is I visualize things like a child sometimes, but that's literally the have a board meeting with my demons is literally I gotta I run this shit, but you have the floor, like, so what's your fucking problem right now? Okay, what's your fucking problem right now? Like, and okay, what's the solution to any of this? And just have a feel the feeling. Which ends up helping me feel better the next day.
Well, with all the stigma that's still attached to mental health, because it's not visible. I mean, everyone can look at you and tell that you're missing limbs, but what goes on in people's heads is people don't want to talk about it. They want to pretend to be normal. So oftentimes I feel like the vast majority of people just push it down. Mm-hmm. They don't let those demons sit, and they just well up and eventually come out in some other horrific way.
Well, and John and Jane Public aren't going to be the person I'm going to open up to anyways.
That's true.
So like, I'm going to put my default setting, which is indeed a wildly energetic combustible ball of energy. Like, yeah. So if I'm talking to someone I'm not going to see again, or like, it's just, I see them when I go into this place every week or something, like, yeah, I'm not going to be like, oh, how's your day going, Tyler? And be like, oh, it's real shitty, Karen. No, I'm going to fucking put on the same face I always do. And yeah. They're going to be like, man, if he can smile, so can I. And then I feel better because I help somebody.
Yeah, I'm so bad for them. So bad for like people like, oh, like, what's up? Or like everybody that saw my post where I was being like super emo about like, fuck you guys. A lot of people reached out and I was just like, yeah, no, I'm cool. I'm just going through it. And like, yeah. like you and I talked about it. But like, you know, those other people are like, oh, okay, just checking in on you. I'm like, clearly I was not fucking good or fine or cool, right. Or okay. But, well, you know,
they want to know you care. Or that they want you to know they care,
yeah.
But they don't really want to like go under the surface because yeah. They're not going under the surface for themselves either, usually. Wow. So it's just like, well, I'm glad you got it all worked out.
Yeah, and just, I mean, you know, as you've seen with a few things that we've talked, my life's pretty fucked. You know, yeah. It's.
I have a severe issue that doing just the opposite, where I can be at a show and people be like, "How you doing?" I'm like. Pretty fucking terrible, actually.
I do that too, where you sound like you're like, I do it at work all the time. And I literally will be like, yeah, this place just makes me want to shoot myself in the head.
Yep. And people are just like, okay, I didn't expect you to really answer. I thought you'd just give me the, you know, oh yeah, it's fine.
Just take it as me joking though. So
yeah.
Well, and that's, I usually put on the anime face when I tell strangers what happened mm-hmm. when they ask. I do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2010, I stepped on 10 Hans of homemade explosives. And they're like, wait, what? Why are you? Why does your face look like that? And I'm like, well, because it didn't fuck up my face.
Like,
actually, technically it did, but they fixed it. It's all good.
But when we went through the whole thing with me getting the SGB shot, Brian was really, you know, I know Brian really cares and I know he can't relate in a lot of ways, just the same as Bachman. And Brian mm-hmm. was really kind of pressing on it. So it'd be this thing of like every time I would see him or I'd see people who knew that it was going on. What he and everyone else didn't understand is it was 40 people at every show coming. I'm going, how you doing? How you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm going, not good, but I don't really want to talk about it here. So let's just live in the space of what we're doing right now.
Literally.
And I know they care.
Just stay in your lane.
Right. Yeah. But I know it's a place of love and I know it's a place of care.
I'm the same way where I'm like, I know they're asking because they care about me, but I just can't. Well, one of my problems is sometimes I don't know what is upsetting me.
100%.
Because I deal with so much different things. Sometimes I know I'm really like upset or I'm bothered, or I know that I'm really depressed, but I don't know why. Or I know I'm really angry and I don't know why. And it takes me a while to figure out what it is that is actually getting me upset. And then when I do get really, really upset too, I become super nonverbal. So like, bless all the people around me that get it. Like, my roommate recently, like, I was going through all the shit I was going through, and I was just sitting in the living room, just, like, there. And he was like, do you want me to, like, make you some ramen? Because I eat ramen, like, every night. And I would just look down, and I'm like, he's like, I'm going to make some ramen and just leave it here. I'm like, yeah. You know.
Which is probably the right move.
And I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to do, because I literally can't speak.
Well, and there's the other part of it, which I'm sure being someone who's been vocal about it and talked about it probably to people. Number one, I'm very educated on depression. I'm very educated on the process. I've read and watched and listened to so many things that I know in general, a regular person, unless they've been through it as well, is not going to have any answers that I haven't already processed about.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're also like, what can you really expect someone else to say? Like sometimes it's nice just to be like, hey, just I'm here with you through it. Yeah. Like, I can't help you, but I'm here and I care. And that does help to hear that.
Yeah.
I think people want to, as I said in past podcasts, I think people often confuse sadness and depression.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that people go, I've been depressed. No, you've been sad.
Really, really sad.
Right. You can be sad to the point of not wanting to exist. That doesn't mean you have depression. And like last week where things are actually not terrible and I just go through this big funk of feeling like shit and not start questioning. And I've been through all the processes you talked about of like, oh, I'm sorry, I touched
you. You're okay.
you've been through all the processes of you know, leaving notes or thinking about how am I going to tell everyone, because I don't want to just leave them with a huge question mark. Like, that shit goes through my brain a lot.
Yeah.
And not even for a particular reason. So what could someone possibly do to help me?
Yeah. You know? If I knew what I needed to help this, I would be doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's how I feel, because I do very much appreciate, you know, people that try to help and be there. And I know that none of that is really going to help that in that moment when you're just like deeply, deeply there. But, you know, I don't know. Sometimes you're just there. You got to ride the wave, as we say.
Yep.
Yeah, you said that a couple times too.
Nope. That's all I can ever express it as, because there's no way for me to get around it. I used to try to pretend like I was okay, and I would say that I was okay, and it worked for a while until it didn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that ends up not manifesting okayness. It just ends up being armor that will eventually, something will find the chink in it, and you're like, oh, shit, I am not okay.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
Yeah, literally.
Well, to kind of wrap this thing up, just to people that are listening, if you're someone who deals with the things that we go through, feel free to reach out to me and Ty and anyone else. If you, again, like knowing what it's like to be in that space, I don't typically reach out to people, because you don't want to feel like a burden. You don't want to feel like, what are you going to say to me that's going to help? But if you just want someone to care and be there, you know, with you, go through it with you, I'm here for that. And I'm sure you have other friends, you know, feel free to reach out to your people. If you're on the other side of it and you're the friend, just let people know that you care and you're willing to sit with them and go through it. And that's about the most you can do. I think it's nice for people to reach out, but I think sometimes people want to give unwanted advice when they really don't know what they're talking about. Can tend to almost put you in a worse headspace, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to fix it. Sometimes it's just, I don't want to be fixed. I just want somebody there, you know?
Yep. Just to let me know that someone cares, and let me know that someone would be willing to listen if I wanted to unload some shit. What are you cracking?
I apologize. That was an inappropriate time to remember a skit about the same thing, about how guys always want to fix stuff and a girl just wants him to listen and not have some answer. Yeah. And it was, the skit was, she had a nail in her forehead, and she was just, God, it feels like it's just something is happening right here.
There.
And he's like, and the guy just keeps trying to tell her. Yeah. And I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen. I apologize for the inopportune time that I thought of that, because I'm over here giggling while y'all are fucking talking about supporting people.
What's funny about that skit, I've never seen it, but it's true. Actually kind of funny for both parts. Like, you're kind of an idiot for being the one with the nail and not listening to the advice of the other person, while you're also an idiot for trying to force your way in and fix the problem. It's
stay kind in of your a lane.
Perfect joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're all figuring out lanes. I mean, you know, take chances and do what you do. I love that my Discord keeps making noises. It's fucking...
I keep duping in my ear this episode.
Yeah, it won't happen again. He's I'll make popular. Sure it's turned off. No, it's like random
super
shit.
Popular. Very
it's
cool.
Kind of a big deal.
How she said it. It's
you
how
can tell he's cool.
It.
Look at him. He's got a mohawk. He's cool.
I'm verified. Don't worry about it. All right. Can't wait. Well, we're pushing on 2 hours.
Yeah.
I know you got your kids to... knock out with NyQuil or whatever you do. I don't know how to be a parent anymore. My kids are old.
I have no kids, so.
You doing
melatonin.
Good?
Well,
you
have a dog.
You can have mine.
No, thank you.
They're old
Impopular.
Now.
Fun and.
Yeah, because you can go away. Yep. Have your son text you at fucking, you know, midnight and be like, can you send me $10 so I can Uber over to where my sister's hanging out?
That's what my little siblings do to me.
So you do
the oldest,
it.
So.
Jeez. I'm the baby.
All right. Well, Alexis, thank you for coming on. I would love to have you back again, because I feel like we kind of dipped our toe, but we got so sidetracked. We could go deeper with your stuff.
Word up.
But, I didn't dip any toes, I promise.
Yeah. I like your still love your prosthetic behind there. I still think you should mount that on like a taxidermy board.
I do. I mean, it's gonna be one of my trophies.
Your lighting looks better though.
Can you lend me a hand?
Thank you. Literally, I can. It's actually the last prosthetic arm I have. I had a big bag of arms that I gave to a friend of mine who teaches a prosthetics class.
Oh wow.
It's always fun to say, I had a big bag of arms, but I gave it to a friend of mine.
I had a great vision. I thought that he should take that arm and turn it into a mic holder.
Oh my God.
How badass would that be if it was just holding his mic up the whole time?
Oh my God. I love that.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. If you stuck around,
yes.
I want to make one last point. Whether it's a musician, whether it's an artist, whether it's a podcast, anytime anybody's doing anything from the ground up, sharing, following, talking about it. If you know people that deal with mental health stuff, you know people that have that go through some of the things we're talking about, point them our direction. Like, it helps so much, and it costs literally nothing to share or follow, you know. And I really appreciate those of you that do. We got some big things coming up in the near future. Another guest in a couple of weeks. This podcast hopefully will be out Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm. But, yes, this is the plan.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Tyler. Amazing job
as usual.
Yeah.
Alexis, thank you for joining us, Alexis. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right, Daddy.
All right. We will see you guys soon, and we're still fucking here.
Thank you.
Still fucking here.
Still here.